Now turn with me to the Gospel by Mark, please. Mark's Gospel, in chapter 12. Should say it's very nice to be here. I don't think either of us anticipated that when this meeting would come, we would be on deck here. So it is very nice to be here, and we thank everyone who has come. And as well as that, please don't ask directions from me to the South Burnaby Gospel Hall, for I couldn't tell you. Turn with me then to Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, verse number 34. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. Into Luke's Gospel for a reference. Luke's Gospel, and we read in chapter 9. Luke 9, please, verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plough, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Revelation chapter 20 for a final reference. The last book in our Bible, and the 20th chapter. Verse number 11 for connection. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Verse number 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now we know God will bless the reading of his precious word with what will fall. I think possibly all in our gathering will understand what I wish to speak on. In Luke's Gospel chapter 9, the Savior looks at a man and he says to this man, he uses these words, whosoever put his hand to the plow and looks back. And the Savior says, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. When we come to Mark's Gospel chapter 12, the Savior again is the speaker. And it's not here the couplet, not fit. In Mark's Gospel chapter 12, he looks and he says, not far, not far from the kingdom. And finally in Revelation chapter 20, it's not fit, nor is it not far. Revelation chapter 20, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Not fit, not far, and not found in the kingdom. As I read Luke's Gospel chapter 9, I realize this as the Savior looks at this man. And as this man says, I will go home. And the Savior says, not fit for the kingdom of God. My friend, listen, this comes. There is a fitness which is required for the kingdom. You people who are gathered here tonight, out in the world, out beyond this building, there are people and they will tell you, I have a way to heaven. Others will tell you, I have another way to heaven. But the Savior says, if people are going to be in the glory, there is a fitness required for the kingdom. We all entered this world and we were born sinners. The scriptures tell us, listen to Romans 3, Romans 3, 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so from the richest right down to the poorest, from those who are wealthy down to those who are nothing, those who are intelligent right through the strata of society, every one of us, we were conceived in sin. And because of our birth, born as sinners. The Savior says, not fit. And there's a fitness required. A fitness required for the kingdom. There's a man came into the presence of Christ. He came at night. He was a religious man. His name was Nicodemus. He was a ruler amongst the Jews. And he stands before Christ. And the Lord Jesus looks at Nicodemus, a man who knew possibly the first five books of our Bible off by heart. And the Savior says, Nicodemus, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There is a fitness required for the kingdom. Let me just stop a moment. Every person here, young or old, whoever you may be, let me ask you, have you ever had a moment when you received this fitness for the kingdom of God? It's not of works, friend. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Ephesians 2 says, listen to it, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it, salvation, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And as I look over this company, have you been born again? Young man, older friend in our gathering, has there ever been a moment when you started for heaven? One moment on the broad way going down to hell. The next on the narrow way going to heaven. One moment in the dark, the next in the light. One moment a child of wrath, the next a child of God. Let me ask you again, are you born again? For the Savior said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I read in the book of Revelation, John, he sees heaven and all its glory. He sees that celestial city. He sees the beauty and all of heaven. And John says, not that defileth, not so ever worketh abomination or maketh a lie shall ever enter in, but them, those who are written in the Lamb's book of life, not fit for the kingdom. And there's a fitness required for the kingdom. Thank God, as I step forward here tonight, there is a fitness revealed for the kingdom. It was the Savior, the Lord Jesus. He gathered 11 men around him. And he said to those men, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he says, as you go, the message that you want to preach is this, that repentance and remission of sins, forgiveness of sins, should be preached in my name. Do you know why we're here tonight, Fred? Why we're standing here and preaching the word of God? It's just for this reason. There is forgiveness of sins, which is being offered tonight in the name of Christ. I'm sure you've heard the story. It was that dear lady, Kim Hoot. She was in a village in Vietnam during the Vietnam War. And those American bombers were moving across. And Group Captain John Plummer gave the order to drop a naphthen bomb. I think you call it napalm. We call it naphthen. Well, anyway, the order was given. They thought the village was uninhabited. And they dropped an Epsom bomb. And out of that village ran children who were hiding there. And a little girl was captured by a photographer running down the road, her arms extended, the very clothes burned of her back. It became picture of the year, 1972. And every time John Plummer saw that picture, his mind was filled with sorrow. He never got over it. Sometimes a Time magazine would flip open and he saw the picture. Occasionally he'd see it in the television. And he saw the picture of the year. And that little girl, the clothes shredded, burned from her little body. And at last she went through operation after operation. And she grew into a young woman. And she came to New York. She came to the United Nations Assembly and she came to give a talk. She came to the rostrum and began to speak, and she didn't know. Her group captain, John Plummer, was up in the balcony. And as she spoke to that company, she said, "The things that happened were terrible. I hope they never happen again to humankind." She said, "I suffer today, and I bear the marks of the things that were done in our little village. But," said she, "if the man is here, whoever dropped that bomb, let me tell that man, I forgive him, because Christ has forgiven me." My friend, tonight, it's only a faint picture, I know. Every one of us had sinned against God, and our sins were like mountains. If sins like mountains now arise, oh, think who bore them on the tree. In dying agonies he cries, "'Tis finished, now redemption's free." And tonight we are preaching the death of Christ, one who left heavenly glory. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, and he came from the very throne, and he was born in Bethlehem. I love those words. Mary brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, for there was no room for them. My friend, this is the Lord of glory. And he lived in Bethlehem, and he moved in Nazareth, and he went out to Jerusalem, outside the gates of the city, and he went bearing a cross to the place called Calvary. Is it any wonder the poet said, "Full many a king a golden crown is worn, but only one a diadem of thorn. Full many a king has sat on jewel throne, but only one hung on a cross alone. Through garlanded gay streets cheered by the crowds, great kings have ridden, one with his head bowed, to bear the burden of his cross passed on, to die on Calvary, this king but one. All other kingdoms pass, they are passing now, save his who wore the bramble on his brow." My friend, what a Savior is this. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and there the Savior died. Listen to these words, written 700 years before he ever came. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." If there's a sinner under the sound of my voice tonight, burdened beneath the burden of sin, wondering, "How can I be saved?" My friend, I point you away to a lonely thorn-crowned sufferer. And in his name, I preach forgiveness of sins. Pardon. Pardon from an offended God. Pardon for sins of deepest dye. Pardon bestowed through Jesus' blood. Pardon that brings the rebel nigh. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who is grace so rich and free? A fitness required for the kingdom, not fit for the kingdom. A fitness revealed for the kingdom. Christ and his death, the value of his blood, and the suffering and death of the cross. And through the Lord Jesus, we are preaching forgiveness of sins. A fitness required. A fitness, my friend, revealed. A fitness rejected. There's a man in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 22. He comes into the presence of the king, and the king had provided for each guest a wedding garment. All he had to do was take the provision, and he was fitted for the feast. And a man comes in, and the king walks into the feast, and he looks around the guests, and he sees a man without the wedding garment. And the king says, "Take him, bind him hand and foot, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." My friend, just let me stop here. As you have heard the gospel tonight, let me say, you will do one of two things.
You will either grasp the opportunity and trust Christ and be in the kingdom, or you will reject for another time. And the call of your heart may be, give me just a little longer, for the world seems oh so bright. I'll be saved when I am dying. I'll be saved, but not tonight. Not fit for the kingdom. Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, as my time's going very quickly. Not far from the kingdom. This young man, you would think he's going to get saved. He comes into the presence of Christ. He comes running. He uses the right language. He says, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And had I been there, I would have thought, surely he's going to be in the kingdom. You know, friend, tonight, he's not in the kingdom. Do you know where he was? Not far from the kingdom, but he's not in the kingdom. My mind went through the scriptures of people who were standing almost at the very gate of heaven, and they're not in the kingdom. I think of the nation of Israel at Kadesh Barnea, and they stand there, and you would almost think, just go in. God has promised the land to you, just go in. And they stood, and they watched, and they waited, and they didn't go in. Where were they? Not far from the kingdom. Where are they now? Not found in the kingdom. I see a man, his name is Agrippa, Acts chapter 26, and Paul stands before him, and Paul preaches the gospel, and announces Christ and him crucified. And Agrippa says, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Where was he? Not far from the kingdom. Is it any wonder John Bunyan, in Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan said, I perceive that from the very gate of heaven there is a door to hell. And there might be someone here tonight, and God has drawn near to you in times that are past. You have heard the gospel. You have a mother who's praying for you. And tonight, you're not fit for the kingdom, but you're not far from the kingdom. My friend, I urge, I plead with you, go in, trust Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Not fit, not far. Revelation chapter 20, not found in the kingdom. It took place over on the east coast. There was a disaster there, an air disaster. I think it was 1999. Swiss Air Flight 111 went down off the coast of Peggy's Cove, just in eastern Canada. And as that plane went down, 279 souls were lost into the cold water of the Atlantic. Of course, there was an emergency operation launched. There was a coordinator there who launched that operation. From those villages, men went out in boats and in ships to try and see, were there any survivors? And there came a moment in that search when they come back to that dear man who was controlling operations, and they said to him, call off the search. None will be found. Here's a scene. When a great white throne is set in space, and when the Lord Jesus sits upon it, and this book will be there, and the books, the records of heaven will be there, and the Lamb's Book of Life will be there. And every sinner that has died without Christ will stand before the throne, and the book shall be opened. And I believe that book will be opened, and it will be searched. You dear men who have heard the gospel, it will be searched through, and you will hear these words, not found. Not found. Not found. Not found written in the book of life. Is it any wonder we plead with you tonight? Is it any wonder we beseech you in God's name, trust the Savior? For from that scene, these awful words will echo. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. God grant tonight, my friend, that as my brother continues this meeting, God grant someone who has come into this building not fit for the kingdom. God grant those who are not far from the kingdom. God grant tonight they will trust the Savior and they will be found in that coming day, found in the kingdom.